We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
The fifth verse of the 51st Psalm. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. The psalmist is not saying this to justify his sin. He's saying it to explain his sin. It's one thing to try to justify sin. It's another thing to try to explain why men do sin. So many people, you know, come in and always try to find an excuse. Sometimes you'll have young people in a school like this that something goes wrong with them, maybe, and they maybe do something they shouldn't do. And you bring them in, and they begin to give excuses. They say, well, you know, this is a reason, or this is why I did it, and so on. You know, I don't know anything that stirs me up with righteous indignation more than that. It's one thing to sin. It's something even worse to condone your sin after your sin. To try to say, well, I wasn't to blame for it. I wasn't responsible for it. These were the circumstances. You remember in the Garden of Eden when Eve sinned and Adam sinned? And God came to them, they began to try to find an excuse for their sinning. The woman said, the serpent tempted me. And Adam said, the woman you gave me. You ever stop to think of that? Why'd you give me that woman? The woman you gave me led me to this sin. See? That's always been the way of the human race down through the years, but that's not the way of a penitent sinner. No really penitent sinner ever tries to excuse himself for sinning. Now, the psalmist isn't trying that here. The psalmist is deeply penitent. He's saying he sinned against God. He said, my sin is ever before me. And then the psalmist said to himself, I imagine, why am I like this anyhow? Why am I such a sinner? And then he says, well, I was shaped in iniquity. And in sin did my mother conceive me. I belong to a fallen race. I'm a poor, miserable, sinful man. Belong to a fallen race. That explains why I did it. It doesn't justify me for doing it. The Bible nowhere justifies sin. There isn't one place in the Bible that tells any man he has to sin. Now wait just a minute. I've never claimed sinless perfection. But I've never stood up in the pulpit and told anybody you have to sin. That is not in the Bible. We are born to sin as the sparks ought to fly upwards. But God writes in the first epistle of John, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. God's standard is the standard of a sinless life. And God says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. God nowhere in all the Bible condones sin. And God never lets anybody get away with sin. No man ever lived on this earth who was big enough, shrewd enough, strong enough, mighty enough of a genius to do wrong and get away with it. God Almighty has organized his own omnipotence against wrongdoing. No man ever won doing wrong. No man ever lost doing right. Nowhere does the Bible condone sin. Nowhere does the Bible justify sin. The Bible makes it plain that God does not look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. God knows why we sin. We read, thou knowest my frame. You remember I'm dust. God knows all about us. God understands why we sin, but God doesn't condone our sinning. And the psalmist here is not trying to excuse himself. He's trying to explain why a man like himself, a man after God's own heart, a man in such a prominent position, how could I do what I did? What's the explanation of this? How could a man be trapped like that? And then he said, well, there's an explanation. I'm a sinner, born in sin, conceived iniquity, came in this world with evil propensities, and I have a sinful nature, and that explains it. Men and women, you sin because you're a sinner. You lie because you're a liar. You steal because you're a thief. You kill because you're a murderer. You do what you do because you are what you are. That's the explanation of the world's condition. Why did I do it? Because you what you are. Oh, men and women, it's an awful thing to live in this world without divine grace. It's a terrible thing to try to get through this world and win out. I'm so sick and tired of all this modern talk about complexes and all this overemphasis upon psychiatry. Now, don't misunderstand me. I know there's such a thing as complex. But, you know, I've been practicing this business all my life. When I was a boy, 15 years old, in the country, preaching around, I ran into people that had all sorts of complexes. And I always found that Jesus can straighten them out better than any doctor in the world if they'll just trust Jesus Christ and get right with him. Jesus can comb those kinks out of the hair of your character. He can do something for you. I've seen women sit down morbid, depressed, weeping over a past, and saying, I'm so utterly wretched and miserable, until you could sit down and tell them about the saving grace of God and talk to them. And I've seen them come out of that darkness into the light. I remember one woman years ago when I was a young preacher conducting a campaign in Texas. They were talking about sending her to the insane asylum. She had a lovely husband. She was a beautiful woman, a refined woman. She came to our meeting. She says, I've been seeking God all my life. I can't find God. It isn't for me to be saved. And I began to talk to her and explain to her what God could do for her. And I held her to the issue. I wouldn't let her dodge it. And after a while, that woman came out of the darkness and became the most radiant and beautiful Christian I think I ever knew. Her husband said, my home is made over. And that woman said, I'd have been in the insane asylum if it hadn't have been for Jesus Christ. You know, people tell you religion runs you crazy. Religion does run people crazy, but Jesus doesn't run them crazy. Religion is not Jesus Christ. You can go crazy on the subject of religion. Religion is simply the thing on which men rely for salvation or endeavor to rely. That's religion. Yeah, religion drives you crazy sometimes. There are all sorts of religions in the world. The devil has his religious system. But Jesus Christ saves a great many people in insanity. A great deal of the insanity in the world would never have come about if people had the right relationship to Jesus Christ. If they'd understood what it meant to trust him and to lean on him and to have victory in him, they'd have had deliverance from the thing that drives them sometimes to insanity. Now the psalmist is explaining his condition. He's almost reached a point where he's morbid about it. He said, I've sinned against God. I've done this terrible thing. Here I am now with my sin ever before me. Miserable, wretched sinner I am. And he says to himself, I've sinned against God. That's a terrible thing about it. And then he says to himself, I imagine, why could I do that? And then he remembers. He remembers that he was born in sin and conceived in iniquity. And that's the explanation. You know, the Bible doctrine of what we call total depravity has been accepted more or less by the great philosophers of the world. I think if you read Plato and Aristotle, you'll find that those great philosophers had discovered that there was something wrong with man, that man is wrong, naturally wrong. You'll find that there's something wrong with the human race. Now, for instance, take our modern world. Isn't it a tragic sort of thing that here we have these great nations at each other's throats? And yet we're facing, what's the matter with the world? What's the matter with Russia? Why doesn't Russia go on? She's got all the land she wants. Why can't she live in peace with the world? What's the matter with Russia? You take Hitler. If Hitler had gone ahead with Germany and had known where to stop, he could have got everything that Germany ought have had. Hitler had a case to start with, but his sordid ambition, this sinful impulse that drove him. Why didn't he stop? What was the matter with him? Oh, a madman, you say. But what made him mad? How do you explain Mussolini? I was down in Italy just as Mussolini began to strut. I was in Rome when he'd come out on his balcony and stick out his chest and his chin. Why didn't that flathead political degenerate, why didn't he stop? What was the matter with him? Now here's the whole wide world gambling on the destruction of civilization. What's the matter with people? Why, the Bible explains it. The human race was conceived in sin and born in iniquity. That's the reason that Jesus told Nicodemus a man has to be born again. A new birth is necessary before a man can even perceive or see the kingdom of God. He has to be born again. That's the old doctrine of the new birth that the old-time preachers in this country preached. The old-time preachers that blazed their way through this country and built these churches stood up and preached hell and judgment and damnation and sin with its consequences. And then they said, Jesus Christ is able to save you. And you can be born a second time. You can come out of your darkness into the light, out of death into life. You can be saved by the grace of God. And you listen to me, men and women. If you haven't been born again, you're a poor, lost sinner. You may be in the church. Or you may even be an official member of the church. You may be a big boy down in your church. But if you haven't been born again, you're lost. Lost, hopeless, or lost without God. Because you were conceived in sin. You were shapen in iniquity. You belong to a fallen race. Now the Bible says if we are in Christ, we are a new creature. A man's a new creature. Now the literal better word is, in Christ he's a new creation. Christ doesn't come down and make the old nature over. Man's been judged in his old nature and set aside as hopeless. There's nothing good in us. In my flesh, the Bible says, there dwells no good thing. So God gives us a new creation, imparts to us a new life, something we never had, when we trust Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, if you're a Christian, you've had imparted to you a new life. You're a new creation, a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. It's terrible to be a sinner. It's terrible to be born in sin and shaped in iniquity and let sin have right away and reign in your life and degrade you and damn you. But so the race goes, teeming millions now around the world in shame and suffering and sorrow and sin. And now the psalmist explains it. He'd sinned against God. His sin was ever before him. He was crying out for forgiveness and mercy. And then he explains it. Oh, thou shaped in iniquity and sin did my mother conceive me. Our Father, we confess too. We know there's something wrong naturally with us. All of us can say, I've done what I shouldn't have done, and when I would do good, evil was present with me. All of us can say that. We came into this world like that. But we thank Thee that one day we met Jesus Christ, trusted. We haven't been all we should have been since then, but we thank Thee we have a Savior that saves poor, lost, helpless sinners. If somebody's listening to this program, it's unsaved, help him or her to trust you and find salvation and victory and get a new life, the life of Jesus Christ imparted to the soul. Hear us in this prayer and be merciful to our poor world. In all of its depravity and sin, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.